This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Ohio River National Freedom Corridor works across the tri-state to preserve, interpret, and promote our extraordinary Underground Railroad heritage. In partnership with the Claremont County Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Ohio River National Freedom Corridor is hosting the inaugural 2015 Regional Underground Railroad Conference, October 16th through the 18th. And joining us to discuss the conference and the Underground Railroad are Ohio River National Freedom Corridor Assistant Director Greg Roberts and Secretary Caitlin Tracy Miller. And Chris DeSimio will be joining us shortly. Chris is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors, and he's the president of Friends of Harriet Beecher Stowe House, one of the member organizations of the Ohio River National Freedom Corridor. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Caitlin and Greg, thank you for being here. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Tell me about your organization first off. How did it get its start, Greg?
Well, the Ohio River National Freedom Corridor started somewhat informally with meetings of local Underground Railroad sites, historians at the Freedom Center here in downtown Cincinnati. And we came to the realization that individually we had our own niche market. But together, when we start sharing the different stories that amongst all these wonderful sites in greater Cincinnati, that it had a powerful impact in terms of a marketability to a larger, broader audience. And that, again, united, we were a more powerful force than working individually.
How many different organizations are involved in the corps?
Well, there's roughly around 30 right now. And again, we try to cover the entire, not just greater Cincinnati, but the entire Ohio River watershed. And so we have organizations from the tri-state area, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. And we formally became an organization a little over a year and a half ago. And this conference is very exciting for us because it's an opportunity to again reach a broader audience and share the rich history that we have here in greater Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin, how big was the role? How significant was the Cincinnati area and the Underground Railroad and that whole system? Tell us about that.
Well, it was incredibly significant, partly because the Ohio River was one of the boundaries between the North and the South and the free states and the slave states. And so a lot of people were crossing the Ohio River to freedom in the Ohio area. And so there's a lot of wonderful stories along the Ohio River that we can tell as a part of this conference. And people are coming from all over. We have speakers coming from as far as Arizona and California to be a part of the conference with us on the 16th and 17th and 18th.
Chris, you're with Harriet Beecher Stowe House, and you're part of this organization. And tell us about Harriet Beecher Stowe House.
Well, most people are unaware that she lived here in Cincinnati mm-hmm. for 18 years.
Where is the house located, by the way?
It's at the intersection of Gilbert and MLK,
okay.
2950 Gilbert Avenue. But it's the last remaining piece of what used to be the Lane Theological Seminary. Her father was the president of that. It stands now where a large Cadillac dealership in Walnut Hills stands. That's where it stood. But when Caitlin was talking about the river, kind of understood if you've read Uncle Tom's Cabin, there's a very dramatic part in the book where the character known as Eliza Harris learns that her son is going to be sold down the river to slavery. And not wanting that to happen, she grabs him and runs. It's February. The river was not nearly as deep then as it is now, and it froze over constantly. So the river plays a very important role. In the book, Eliza jumps from ice floe to ice floe, carrying her baby, being chased by people, and then is met on the riverbank by someone who otherwise would have caught her, but had mercy on her and sent her up to the Rankin House. That's not called the Rankin House in the book, but it actually is based on a true story. That really happened. Harriet heard that story while she was living here in Cincinnati. She had visited that area, the Ripley-Maysville area. So it's a regional thing that is part of the national discussion on freedom and the lack thereof. But it all happened right here. So this was one of the main gateways for people seeking freedom. This was one of the Western gateways. There was a lot of activity in the New York, Philadelphia area for Underground Railroad, but the Cincinnati through Ripley and the whole Kentucky-Ohio border matched by the Ohio River was very important.
And one of the nice things about the conference is that there's opportunities to go on tours. We can visit some of these sites that Chris was just talking about. So there is a tour that's going to Maysville. There's one that's going to go by the Rankin House and some other places as well, New Richmond, which Greg's very familiar with from his work with New Richmond.
Well, Chris mentioned one of the more recognizable stories of Harriet Beecher Stowe and Uncle Tom's Cabin and Eliza. One of the really interesting things about the conference is there are just many, many untold stories that are equally compelling of individuals seeking freedom and the people who assisted them. And that's really what the conference is about, is giving the people who love these stories and can share them with people. And I've been to a National Underground Railroad Conference sponsored by the National Underground Railroad Network of Freedom as part of the National Park Service. Their national conference has a similar gathering of historians and scholars and individuals who have made this their life work, studying these stories and revealing them. And this is a rare opportunity to get a gathering of these experts to tell these little-known stories.
Who are some of the experts that will be coming for this?
Well, locally, we have a local author by the name of G.L. Corum, who's done some research on Ulysses S. Grant and his family's involvement in the abolitionist movement. We have Gary Knepp, who is a Claremont County expert on Underground Railroad activity, and he's written a book. And he's going to talk about, again, people are probably, again, familiar with the Solomon Northrup story of 12 Years a Slave, the popular movie. Gary's going to talk about a story that was more, unfortunately, more frequent, and that is free black people being kidnapped and sold into slavery that were never seen again. And there are at least one other presenter that's going to tell a similar story. And so we have the locals who really know the stories and can share them, and we're excited about having people, again, as Caitlin mentioned, as far away as California, coming to the conference.
Yeah. Go ahead, Caitlin.
And Dr. Clarence Newsom, the president of the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, will be delivering our keynote on Saturday as well. So that's someone that listeners may be familiar with.
There's going to be an event at the Freedom Center.
Okay. Yeah, Saturday evening from 7 to 9, all of the conference attendees will be able to go to the Freedom Center and see all those stories as they're told in the exhibits there. So that's a really exciting part of the conference as well.
Caitlin, will there be tours of all the local sites that were associated with the Underground Railroad? Is that going to be part of the conference as well?
There are. So there's options for tours on Friday and Sunday that attendees can sign up for. And there's a discounted rate if people are attending the Saturday portion of the conference. So these sites, if you're interested in the tours, they're all available on the Corridors website, and you can see what those tours are. But going to a lot of these sites that both Chris and Greg have been talking about.
Yeah, well, I'll share the website. It's a mouthful. It's www.OhioRiverNationalFreedomCorridor.org.
Fortunately, we have a link to that on our website, WVXU.org, just to make it easy.
Yes, please use the VXU link.
what's interesting, too? It fascinates a lot of people who come to Cincinnati and just don't realize that the role that it played in framing the national discussion on freedom and slavery. That here there was a newspaper published here in Cincinnati, downtown, by a gentleman named James Burney at first, who started publishing in Greg's neck of the woods in New Richmond. He was going to publish it here originally, but the opposition to it was so great. No one wanted abolitionists stirring up trouble. And that's what abolitionists did. They were considered to be kooks and rabble-rousers. People came here. This was the West at the time. People came to Cincinnati to make money. And a lot of that money was made selling product to people in slave states.
How strong was that abolitionist movement in the Cincinnati area? I have to think that's one of the reasons that we were a focal point on the Underground Railroad.
It was very strong. Unfortunately, some of the best and brightest were run out of town, essentially, were pretty much forced to leave in the mid-1830s when they dared to discuss slavery at the Lane Seminary and then did something about it by forming an abolition society that, again, worked to elevate people of both genders and all colors. And that made people nervous in 1834. By 1836, that abolitionist paper started by New Richmond, actually James Birney, who started in New Richmond. His press in Cincinnati was torn apart and thrown into the river. There were people killed in the riot of 1836. He left and went on to run for president in 1844. In 1841, another riot, same press, same paper, The Philanthropist, published by a different gentleman, this was Gamaliel Bailey, broken apart, thrown into the river. William Lloyd Garrison and offered to pay money to have the press rebuilt. So Cincinnati was, and this whole region was clearly on, well, radar hadn't been invented, but had radar been invented, this would have been on the radar back then.
Yeah, a little bit more on the Birney story. New Richmond businessmen offered him protection. They formed a vigilance committee to guard his presses as it operated in Richmond. Now, it was in Richmond 6 months, and as Chris said, once it was brought to Cincinnati, there was a riot, and the press was destroyed and thrown into the river. And after the second time, that actually served a positive effect because there were a number of people in Cincinnati who were neutral, basically, on the subject of slavery. And once they saw the depth that the pro-slavery people would go to in terms of violence against someone who was just exercising his First Amendment rights, it swayed some people in terms of being a little more sympathetic to the anti-slavery cause.
Yeah, in fact, Birney's life was saved, perhaps, during the riots by Salmon P. Chase, who blocked the door at the Franklin House, the hotel down by the river where Birney was staying. He physically blocked the door. Doris Kearns Goodwin mentioned that in her book, Team of Rivals. So, again, Cincinnati and this whole area.
It sounds like it's got a very rich heritage.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
The huge legacy from the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, and that's what's great about this conference, to bring people in from all around the country to learn and to talk about it and share, as Greg and Caitlin are saying, to share the stories because there are lots of good ones.
We will continue our conversation about the Underground Railroad, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are Ohio River National Freedom Corridor Assistant Director Greg Roberts and Secretary Caitlin Tracy Miller, along with Chris DeSimio, Financial Advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors and President of Friends of Harriet Beecher Stowe House, one of the member organizations of the Ohio River National Freedom Corridor. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Greg, do we know how many sites around here were connected with the railroad?
Well, not exactly, because it was truly underground. Most of the operations were secretive. But as I mentioned earlier, we count at least 30 members, but that's nowhere representative of the sites that were involved with the Underground Railroad. And again, most people have been brought up believing in the mythology that the Underground Railroad was a group of tunnels, and I get that question in New Richmond all the time. Where are the tunnels?
Or they might think railroad, and they might think, was it really a railroad? No.
Well, the fact of the matter is maybe sometimes a tunnel was used to hide freedom seekers, and even sometimes, even in New Richmond, there's a case where Levi Coffin bought a railroad ticket for a freedom seeker and put on the train to Sandusky, Ohio. But again, you know, a lot of people don't understand that the Underground Railroad is basically a metaphor for being a group of people that work together collectively, both black and white, and what was really one of the world's first civil rights movement that involved people of different races and cultures.
How exactly did it work?
How it worked typically was word of mouth. Family connections, either religious or business connections, where people knew where there were trusted individuals in the next town or the next farm, and so one of the little known stories that have been told is that you'll find that in communities like Ripley in my hometown in New Richmond that had African American communities. Wherever there were African Americans, free blacks, there was Underground Railroad activity.
Yeah, the so-called the gist settlements that are in the G-I-S-T?
Yeah, the GIST settlements are in Brown and Highland counties, and there were a number of free black settlements throughout the state of Ohio and in Indiana.
Yeah. In fact, going up to halfway between here and Detroit, one of the Lane Rebels, as they were called, his name was Augustus Wattles, W-A-T-T-L-E-S. He got so involved in helping the free black community in Cincinnati, living down around the Deer Creek, kind of where Eggleston is now, that he, with his own money, he withdrew from school, lived among them, worked with them, taught them, and then with his own money bought land south of Salina, Ohio, in Cartagena, in farming country, and bought land and opened up a farming community for them. So anywhere that they could get help, anywhere that they could be among themselves and help hide them from slave catchers who, were ruthless and relentless in pursuing them. There was a lot of money to be made by returning fugitive slaves to their owners. So all throughout Ohio, there's some really good maps that we have at the Stowhouse and I imagine will be available there at the conference.
Yes.
That kind of highlight what routes were taken, and some of them are very familiar to people nowadays.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the risks that the people operating the Underground Railroad on both sides of the river, what were some of the risks they faced, Caitlin?
Well, beginning in 1850, the Fugitive Slave Act was passed, which made it illegal to assist fugitive slaves who were fleeing, and that was an act that really upset a lot of folks who've been involved in abolition, including Harriet Beecher Stowe. It was one of the reasons she wrote the famous novel Uncle Tom's Cabin, was her anger about the Fugitive Slave Act. But it was a risk legally, and it was a risk to your property. I mean, there are people that did not approve of people assisting with the Underground Railroad, so you could risk having property burned or thrown in the river, as we mentioned with the printing press. And there was a lot of risk involved, and to reputation as well. Abolitionists at times were considered incredibly radical and dangerous people, not someone you would want to associate with.
Yeah, and even John Van Zandt from Cincinnati was selling, produce down at the Public Landing in Cincinnati in the 1840s. He couldn't make it home all the way back to where he lived. He stopped up by the Lane Seminary up on what's now Gilbert Avenue. It was called the Montgomery Pike back then. When he woke up the next morning, there was a group of about eight fugitives who, wanted a ride, and he put them in his wagon and up he went. He was caught. His case was defended all the way to the Supreme Court, was argued all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States by Salmon Chase, who worked with William Seward on this case. He lost the case. He was fined. He was imprisoned. He died shortly after that, just financially ruined. So, if you were involved in it, you knew what the risks were, and they were nothing to be taken lightly.
Were people in Kentucky more at risk?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they were more at risk. And you'll find that as you went north of the Ohio River, the risk became less and less. And so that made this Ohio River Valley just so significant because it was just the clash of these two thoughts. And you really can't appreciate the heroism involved in the whole Underground Railroad story if you don't fully understand the risks that we were just talking about, because people risk their lives and certainly their livelihoods by assisting people. Obviously, this, again, the other untold story that is what makes these conferences important is that oftentimes the freedom seekers themselves, their stories are not well documented and told. But little by little, with the efforts of scholars like we're hosting, these stories are becoming revealed, and they're incredible, because you just think about how much courage it took to take flight and the risk, the unknown.
Well, and then sometimes even if they made it over to the Ohio side, they sometimes are caught and taken back, weren't they?
Absolutely.
They weren't safe by any means. In fact, John Parker, the Parker House in Ripley is a must. You have to see it if you're going to go to the Rankin House. Here is a man, a free black inventor, businessman. He could have just stayed on his side of the river, but he, at night, would go back or whenever he could and help fugitives, risking his life every single time he crossed the river, every single time. He would have been killed, in fact, nearly was a couple times. But they'll be at the conference as well.
Right, and we both on Friday and Sunday, we have on Friday two pre-conference tours where attendees and the general public, because you don't have to be an attendee of the conference to join us in on the tours. But we've got two tours on Friday. One is emanating from Petersburg, Kentucky. It's chronicling the story of the escape of the 28. There's the Hamilton Avenue Freedom Road Group out of College Hill is hosting that tour, and it will go from Petersburg up to College Hill. And again, chronicling the routes, and they'll have living historians and music involved on the tour. The other tour on Friday covers, you know, the incredible history of the Quakers' involvement in the Underground Railroad up in the Waynesville, Harveysburg, and Wilmington area. And the Friends Home out of Waynesville is hosting that conference. And Sunday, some of the sites that Chris was talking about earlier, my hometown in New Richmond will be emanating starting from the Holiday Inn Eastgate and headed toward New Richmond. Then we're going to be going to Ripley, Augusta, Kentucky, also Maysville. And then we've got a bonus site we're going to be visiting. Chris mentioned Augustus Wattles. His brother Thomas was involved with an experimental community in Utopia, Ohio. And there's an alleged underground church that was associated with the Wattles brothers that we'll be touring on Sunday.
Yeah, which flooded out.
Which flooded out, yes. It had a disastrous ending to that community. At least 14 members of the community were drowned in a flash flood around 1854.
419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Brooke in Northside. Hi, Brooke. Hi, Brooke. You're on.
Oh, okay. I got disconnected for a minute. Hi. I heard you mentioning Eliza a little while ago. I think it's Harris who crossed the Ohio River, the frozen Ohio River. And I wondered if you knew there is a good local songwriter, Margie Dries, who has written a song about Eliza.
We have not heard that.
Yeah.
We have not heard that. Well, that's interesting. Here, we're right. Caitlin is writing feverishly.
We'll have to check that out.
We'll have to check that out. There is a house up there in the College Hill area that some people say is the Eliza House. Eliza probably wasn't her real name. That was the name that Harriet gave her in the book. Her path, according to people who were involved, she crossed at Ripley, stayed with the Rankins, and then the Coffin family somehow got involved. Levi Coffin, who had a free store, meaning that he didn't sell goods made by slaves here in Cincinnati. He and his wife Catherine lived in Walnut Hills for a while. He was still referred to as the president of the Underground Railroad, but she kind of did not go straight to Detroit from Ripley. She kind of wandered up back towards Cincinnati as part of her trip, and then up the western part of the state.
Brooke, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Caitlin, how do you get young people engaged in this part of history? Is that going to be part of the conference?
It will be. And we were talking earlier about all the bravery involved in being involved in the Underground Railroad, and the theme of the conference is I Walked with Bold Courage, Connecting Communities with Shared Stories of the Underground Railroad. And so on Thursday at the Freedom Center, we're going to be having an event from 4 to 6 for teenagers talking about this theme of walking with bold courage. And we're going to talk about the Underground Railroad. There's going to be Diana Porter, who's involved with College Hill, which we were talking about a moment ago, is going to be dressed out in costume to talk to the kids, but they're also going to talk about the idea of continuing to walk with bold courage today.
We're going to take one more phone call, Joseph in Silverton. And Joseph, we've got about 30 seconds, so go ahead and ask your question. Joseph, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Go right
hello,
ahead. You got about 30 seconds here. Get the last word
okay.
in here.
Okay. I always heard when I worked at the SCPA school, the old one, which was Old Woodward High School, that was the terminus of a tunnel that went from the Ohio River to the SCPA Woodward site and where Levi Coffin's barn was. Is there any truth to that story?
Okay, Joseph, thank you for the question.
Well, I don't think anyone here at the table knows if that's true or not.
There are a lot of unknowns, aren't there, about this whole thing?
Yeah. I would be very skeptical about any story typically about tunnels as a red flag to Underground Railroad historians.
Could have been.
Possibly.
Could have been. But the canal was around in that area, and they may have gone up the canal, followed the water.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Ohio River National Freedom Corridor Assistant Director Greg Roberts, Secretary Caitlin Tracy Miller, along with Chris DeSimio, financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors, and Chris is also the president of Friends of Harriet Beecher Stowe House. The Ohio River National Freedom Corridor inaugural Regional Underground Railroad Conference takes place October 16th through the 18th at the Eastgate Holiday Inn and Conference Center. You can find a link to more information at wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at wvxu.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday, up next on 91.7 WVXU. As we reach our senior years, many of us face several changes in our lives. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at Life Reimagined, a program designed to help people discover their passions and find new purpose in life's third act. We'll also talk with Chris Gardner. His autobiography was the basis for the movie The Pursuit of Happiness. And in Focus on Technology, Lighting the Way for Firefighters. That's Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.